DP, why aren't you on television? Why don't you have your own late night with DP Knewton? You're amazing.
They should.
Honestly, you're making me feel inadequate.
Oh, give me a break. I mean,
oh, seriously, dude.
Well, I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons that I'm doing this podcast is that people, and this is not me blowing my horn. Well, maybe it is a little bit, but
you can toot your horn with me. That's okay.
Well, people say, you have no idea how good you are at doing this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. Am I?
Yeah, you like, seriously, you are really, really good. Really, really, really. I've done maybe 50 podcasts this year with different hosts. Without doubt, you are the absolute master. And I'm not just saying that to be nice, because I don't feel like I have to be nice to you.
No, you don't.
And the thing is as well, like, don't you find I find I'm getting better and better. Like, there's little videos that I'm putting on LinkedIn. Yeah, those little ones about my things, whatever. They are one take with no script.
Yeah.
I'm so used to just talking. And just, you know, the words just come and I don't buffer as much as I used to. I don't be like, it just comes and it's practice. But you are the king. You are the Greek goddess of podcasting.
I am Artemis.
I think Athena is better, but I'm going to be the kookaburra of coffee. You can be the Athena of podcasting. There we go.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, this is really good to hear, because I'll be honest with you. One of my base strategies for starting a podcast was to demonstrate in a force multiplication way what I'm like, who I am, what I sound like, the way I think. I'll be honest with you, I cut out a lot of ums in the edit. Yeah. I'll take out a lot of big pauses.
Me too.
And thin, yeah. But you want to see my script for this conversation? I'm holding up a pad with 3 bullet points on it.
Ah.
That's in the last episode, you mentioned that a lot of times you don't have any plan when it comes to what you're going to post. Guess what? I'm just like you. You also said you get a lot of ideas when you're walking your dog.
Yeah.
Guess what? So do I. That's exactly my modus operandi when coming up with content. It's like, oh, here's a cool idea. And you've seen my videos where I created this. I stumbled onto it. It really is truly, I stumbled on it. I came back from Social Media Marketing World 18 feeling like an absolute hack when it came to getting myself out there. I mean, I saw people who are doing super duper level stuff, and I'm feeling like this piker who can't do anything. And I started taking my dog for a walk, throwing my camera on and just talking a little bit. And I stumbled onto this thing that I now call Walk Talk Brand. And oftentimes I'll say it's Walk Talk Brand with Olive, my Labrador retriever. And by stumbling on that, I now have a look, I now have a style, and I now have a technique for getting these things done that requires me to type how many words? 0. Because just like you, it's in my head, out my mouth, and then I kind of write it as I walk.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting. And guess what? You want something authentic? Do something like that, because there is no script to make you seem fake.
Yeah.
Now, the benefit is that you and I are creative types with a capital C creative. So it's, I would say, probably easier for us to do that. Other people are a lot more regimented in the way they need to get stuff done. And they do calendar out things. And frankly, part of when I work with clients on content strategy, I'll say you need to have your calendars. You need to have an editorial calendar. You need to have a posting calendar.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same.
But
I'm
never do that myself.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do. I mean, I think that's a basic rule. You know, so I'm exactly the same. I have, you know, plans. I give them, you know, blog idea prompts and whatever. And also, as you said, it's been our living for a long time to pull ideas out of our bottom. When you're a creative in an agency, you know, yeah, you're sometimes given a bit of time to sit on a beanbag, but you have to deliver that concept for that deadline. And you can't wait for inspiration sometimes. You have to have little things that make you come up with ideas. And that's a skill. And I probably do underestimate what a valuable skill that has become in this modern social media marketing world. It's invaluable. I think I do lots of podcasts, lots of talks. I can always think of something to talk about. I can always come up with an idea for a post. And I think lots of people really struggle with that. So we're blessed. We're very lucky, I think.
But that's also good, because certain people value that and actually will pay for those services. So that's a wonderful thing. And before we go down a totally different rabbit hole, I did want to talk about YoastCon, because Yoast is a big deal. I mean, it's global. It's located in the Netherlands, the company, right?
Yep.
And you've been invited to be on a panel with Rand Fishkin. Now, anybody who's been paying attention to anything online knows the name Rand Fishkin. And when he left Moz, it was interesting. I actually saw someone on Twitter say, "You left Moz? I thought you were Moz." That's how big this dude is. So you're going to be on a stage right next to him, which to everybody else on the face of the earth means you're of the same caliber he is. How cool is that? How did you get this invitation to speak at YoastCon?
Well, I think, as you said earlier, if you don't have the footage, you have nothing to edit. If you don't try, if you don't put yourself forward, you're never going to get in. So for the last couple of years, I've been very much a yes human, but also a putting myself out of my comfort zone. So I spent a lot of time, just pallying up with people via social media, I call it fluffing, but I realize that's a really inappropriate term. But I like to fluff people on, and it's not false. I'm kind of interested in them and I'll comment and I'll talk to them. Then you do it a bit more and you share their stuff. And then they have a podcast and I'll be like, "Hey, can I be on your podcast? I could talk about this." And they're like, "Yeah." And a lot of people would never ask because they'll be like, "I'm not going to ask. They're not going to accept me." But all they can do is say no. And literally no one has said no to me yet. I haven't tried for some of the biggie big ones, but I'm not really about the biggie big ones. But with Yoast, I literally saw that they were looking for speakers. And I was so like, I'm never going to get to speak at that. Like, whatever. So I have nothing to lose. Why don't I just write an application? So I wrote the application straight into the form, didn't even proofread it, which was kind of awkward because then the form sent me an email saying, "Here's what you submitted." And I was like, "How to be a brilliant copywriter." And I got the Y and the W and anyway. And then he just came back and said, "We'd like to have you." Now, let's be honest, I have a few things at my disposal that maybe helped. I have a podcast that gets 5,000 downloads. I have a big group on Facebook. So my efforts to build my own brand, I think, help. Like, I don't think I was a complete ring-in. He knows a little bit who I am. I've followed him for a while. I've shared his content. And I then invited him on my podcast. So it's a little bit back-scratchy, but I'm really, in the great scheme of things, nobody. I think I don't think I got lucky. I just think I put myself out there.
And you also are using your talents to your best possible use. And one of those talents is you're in Australia. Let's face it, it's a continent. And there are plenty of people on that continent that could use the services of a company like Yoast or any others that might be involved. And if you put yourself in the shoes of a programmer at one of these things, and they look at, "Well, you got a lot of Europeans. We have nobody from Africa. We have a lot of Americans. We have nobody from Southeast Asia. We have nobody from Australia, but, oh, wait a minute. We've got a submission from this Kate Toon. Let's look her up. Oh, she's somebody. Let's get Kate Toon on the horn."
Yeah, you've got to play with what you've got. I mean, unfortunately, you're a middle-aged white man from America, so you've got nothing.
You are so right about that. I have nothing going for me except overwhelming white privilege and the fact that I personally run the world.
Yeah, well, just that's saying. It. But, I'm a woman in a vaguely male-dominated space. SEO still is more, I'd say, male than female. Not so much. It's getting better. I'm a British person living in Australia, so that's a bit weird. And yes, they have, in their marketing, gone all the way from Australia. Because I think to a lot of people, Australia's like the moon. They've never been there. It feels like this weird land where kangaroos are running up and down the street. So I do think that's helped me. And I'm going to take whatever I can get. But, I think one thing that's nice about the Yoast conference is there is a nice female-male balance. Maybe the racial balance isn't that great, but I think that happens at pretty much every conference. But they've done better than most, I think. So, yeah, I think the Australian-ness helped.
It's one of the things that makes you, you.
Yeah.
And the big essence of the gospel I preach about personal branding is know who you are so you can be it. And part of that knowing who you are is not just your sensibility, not just the way you think, but it's also the external things like, "Hey, I'm over 6'3" white male of a certain age." My whiskers belie that. Well, actually, my whiskers are telling the truth. And I can't help that. I can't change that. I can't put on full sleeves of tattoos and look cool like some of the people you're going to be on a dais with or at the head table with. That wouldn't be true to me because that's not who I am. But part of the demography of who I am informs my personal brand. Some of the psychographic parts of me inform who I am. And a big part of what defines who I am is where I present myself, how I present myself, and the way I engage with other people. So we kind of said, I'm doing a podcast. What does that allow me to do? It allows me to talk to someone in Australia, which when I tell people, again, in my neck of the woods, Madison, Wisconsin, which is kind of like somewhere outside of Ayers Rock. I mean, it's not exactly the white hot center of the universe. It's more like Tatooine with Luke Skywalker a little bit. But it burnishes my reputation to say, I'm talking to Kate Toon from Sydney, Australia. I'm going to be talking with Pablo Killian down in Argentina. How cool is that? It makes me cool, right? Well, guess what? I'm here to say I'm not cool.
He is cool, people. He is cool. But I love that thing you've just said there. Know who you are so you can be it. Because, of course, the flip side of this fabulous thing of speaking at Yoast is the huge imposter syndrome that comes along with it. You know, I've built up my little universe. I've got followers and people that like me and affirm me and like my posts, give me that dopamine rush. This is big style. I'm going to an event where I don't know a single person there. There won't be a single person in the audience that I've ever met before. My gang is not there. And I've spent a long time kind of work, you know, thinking, well, how should I put this forward? You know, what outfit should I wear? You know, maybe I'm not technical enough. Maybe. And then, you know, it's really just embracing the fact that I bring me, and I may not be an uber geek that's going to talk about robots, TXT, schema, amp, blah, 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 but I'm going to talk about what I know, and I know it well, and that's fine. And that's what they want me for. You know what I mean? But that's been a real challenge, because we can put this portrayal out there of this brand and this confidence, but then sometimes we are tested. Do you ever get tested? Sometimes we get into a situation. Are you just uber confident all the time? Or?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? I don't get stage fright because I did improv comedy for years. I know I can walk into a meeting with Satan where my life is depending on my answers. And I'll be like, I know what to do. Listen to the question, formulate the answer, and say it. I know how to do that. I'm not afraid of that. But do I have imposter syndrome? Every flipping day. Because I've been in advertising and marketing for, I want to say, 28 years. I didn't go to any school to learn that stuff. I got a job. They paid me. And then I got another job where they paid me. And my degree is in theater. I was an actor, for crying out loud. I'm good at putting on costumes. And sometimes that's exactly what I feel like. I'm wearing a costume. But the reality is I have experience. And so I'm looking at you right in the camera, right in the eyes, Kate, and I'm saying, you have something that every single person at YoastCon doesn't and can never have, and that is your experience. That experience is invaluable. Sharing it, and you have the facility, the vocal facility, the presentation facility, to be able to get that experience out there and shared. Do you know how many brilliant people can't say their name? I mean, the fact that you can get up there and make people laugh, make them think, and make them like you. Oh my God, you're better than 90% of humanity.
God, I need this. This is my pep talk that I need. But it's,
well,
you know,
damn right.
I do. No, I do. It's great. It really is. Cause it's a week away. And I remember I spoke at Pro Blogger, which is a big event over here. You might've heard of Darren Rouse. I don't know if you know, but
yeah. Yep.
And that was one of my first speaking gigs. And I got like a 15-minute thing to stand up on stage and talk about SEO for blogging. And Darren was in the back of the room. He's a lovely man. He was in the back of the room, stood there with his arms crossed like that, watching me. And I could see him. And it's like, he knows more about this than me times a thousand. He's been doing this for longer than I have. And it was super intimidating. I did okay. It went really, really well. Darren came up afterwards and said, you did a great job. But I'm going to have those people in that room again. But I think the difference is, as you said, now I'm like, I'm me, you know? And there could be 20 other people that could deliver this content. And, you know, it's nothing that I'm saying is probably something you couldn't read on a blog. I've got a few personal insights, but a lot, you know, you're teaching SEO copywriting. There are rules. There are things that you do that all of us can learn, but it's how you present them. It's your unique way of speaking, your little idioms, all the little asides and jokes and, you know, little stories that you bring in that make it uniquely you. So, you know, you said earlier about how some people aren't creative and maybe don't have those ideas. Everybody has something, you know, even if you're an accountant and that you'll have some funny little accounting story that will be funny to other accountants. I might not get it, but I don't know your industry. We all have something that we can bring and make it into our story and our brand. That's my little, do you agree?
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And one of the things, again, that I like to tell people when I'm coaching them or working with them is say, when's the last time you went to a restaurant and they didn't serve steak? Every restaurant serves steak, except vegetarian ones, obviously, or hamburgers. Let's just say hamburger sandwiches. You can go to a crappy little takeout place right down the road, or you can go to a 3 Michelin star restaurant and have the most fantastic burger in the world. Every chef does the same thing in a different way, has a different take on it, a different taste on it, a different experiential background that informs the way they make that burger. So here I am telling you, Kate Toon, your SEO burgers are going to be more juicy, flavorful, and tasty than a lot of people's over there because you're coming at it with a unique point of view that you can communicate clearly in a very charming fashion. So if you need an injection of adrenaline or some type of super vitamin CBD shot, just give me a call because I'm here to tell you that you know your stuff. You can present yourself incredibly well in a really fun way. So
I need a DPK shot. That's what I need. That's what we call it.
There you go. DPK. Vitamin DPK.
I'm going to serve up my juicy SEO burgers. That doesn't sound good at all, but I'm going to do that.
Because let me tell you, there will be people who absolutely know more than you who can't talk their way out of a paper bag. Well, when you do this, you do this. And then over here, and the audience is falling asleep or leaving the room. And the thing is, when Darren Rouse was at the back of your talk, he was doing what good creative directors do. I once heard, a famous creative director, and I was in the audience, and there was a Q&A going on, and someone asked, and you could tell it was a young person who wanted to get a job with this guy. And he said, so what do you look for in a creative's portfolio? And he said, I look for two things, their best ad and their worst ad. Their best ad is the one that I never would have thought of that makes me go, wow. And then the worst ad is that tells me their taste level. If there is one good ad in a book, and by good, it's the wow ad. If there's one good ad, I'll hire the guy. But if their worst ad is at a level low enough, it'll make me second guess. And most of the time I won't hire them because they showed me their worst taste.
Oh, I like that.
You know, so... You know, give him your best. And Darren Rouse, I'm sure he said, wow, I learned one thing from you. That's cool because I don't learn a lot from a lot of people.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Your personal brand, you've embraced SEO like a mama bear embracing her cub. And that's been incredibly beneficial for you because you've picked a niche, you know, and Pat Flynn likes to say the riches are in the niches. Well, you've done incredibly well. And from everything I'm seeing, you're killing it when it comes to SEO all over an entire continent that is Australia and now beyond. When did that decision get made? When did you decide I'm going all in on SEO as my tent pole?
It was literally at that conference that I mentioned. So I had been doing workshops on SEO. I've been an SEO copywriter for a long time and a technical SEO. So doing all the tech side of it, the geek side, rebuilding websites. I can build a WordPress website. I can do all the auditing. So I've been doing that for a while for big clients like Kmart and some of the big banks. I ran a few workshops. That kind of went well. But it was always a sideline to my copywriting. When I did that conference at ProBlogger, there was about 750 people there. It was a big, big room, and there was a lot of people there. And people just came up, and they literally said, I have never understood SEO before. And in that 10-minute presentation, something just clicked in a way that it hasn't ever done. And I realized that my skill was not, I am not on the cutting edge. I'm not in the laboratory with the test tubes coming up with the formulas. But what I'm able to do is take that kind of scientific information and turn it into a palatable, digestible, and enjoyable piece of content. So I am almost like, I feel like a translator. And I realized that that was my skill. You know what I mean? I didn't have to be the techie in the laboratory. I could be the person who comes out and explains the results to the world. And that there was a real need for that, because a lot of SEO at that time, it's changed a bit now, was all about keeping people out, keeping people confused, giving them jargon and gobbledygook so that we can charge more, we can say it's a dark art, we can mystify people. And so when I first started out, coming along and going, actually, it's pretty black and white. It's not rocket science. I had a lot of pushback. And that was my post about trolls was back. I had a lot of people going, what are you doing? You shouldn't be telling people this. You shouldn't be giving away the secrets. Don't show the magician's trickery. Just show them the trick. And that's when I knew I'd really got something, because the reaction to it from the SEO world was quite negative, and the reaction from the audience was so positive. And I was like, I can do this. And also, as I said, the femaleness helped. Because there weren't many women, but I don't think it was just that. I think it was the humor that helped more than anything else. Like making it funny, you know, using odd language and idioms to make SEO entertaining and fun to do rather than this horrible, boring geek thing, you know? So yeah, it was then, it was at that conference.
Well, it's now the spine of everything you do, at least based on what I see.
Yeah.
Is that an ongoing strategy you're going to ride into the sunset with?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's very lucrative for me. So probably about 80% of my income comes via the Recipe for SEO Success and 20 by the Clever Copywriting School. At heart, I am a copywriter. I like writing. I like creating. I don't have clients anymore. So this is, I'm entirely passive income. And I do get to write a lot for my own business. In my heart of hearts, though, I do think that one day I'll go back to being, I can't, as you said, being a Greek goddess forever, even if I'm a flawed Greek goddess. I'm not sure I still want to be at this level in 10 years time. I think then I might want to retreat back, write my books, do my copywriting. But for now, I'm riding it into the sunset.
Well, that's very cool. And again, I'm talking with Kate Toon. I've decided she is the Queen Kookaburra of copy from Sydney, Australia. And a really great friend of mine who I met at Social Media Marketing World 2018. And I am so thankful for you participating on the podcast and sharing your story, because that right there is the essence of personal branding and also small business branding as well. You know, huge companies, they do branding in an entirely different way. But if you're an individual or a small business, there's only one really effective way to do it. And that is to be yourself, to share of yourself, and to get out there. And once again, I really encourage everyone to check out Kate Toon, that's T-O-O-N, on LinkedIn, Facebook, her free Facebook groups. Can you mention the names of those two free Facebook groups again, Kate?
The Misfit Entrepreneurs is one, and the other one is I Love SEO with Kate Toon.
Both of those groups are free to join, so all you have to do is to navigate to the group itself, ask to join, and Kate will approve you. And I'd like to invite you to join Nonfiction Brandversity. I was inspired by Kate's model and started creating a new community for passionate personal branders and small business branders called Nonfiction Brandversity. It's on Facebook. It's free, and all you have to do to join is ask, and you are in guaranteed. I'm DP Knutton, and she is
Kate Toon.
And I'll be talking at you next time on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. Bye-bye.